Hello, my name is Karen Guglielmo, an editor of SearchCIO.com, and I'd like to welcome you to today's expert podcast series on service-oriented architecture, or SOA, trends. I'm joined today by Dana Gardner, President and Principal Analyst for InterArbor Solutions, LLC. Dana is a leading identifier of software productivity trends and new IT business value opportunities. He tracks and analyzes a critical set of enterprise software technologies and business development issues, including service-oriented architecture, web services, integration, application development tools, and application delivery optimization techniques. Prior to starting up InterArbor Solutions, Dana was a senior analyst in the Application, Infrastructure, and Software Platforms Decision Service at Yankee Group Research Incorporated, where he advised clients on enterprise software technologies, software trends and developments, and application development and deployment strategies. He has also been designated a top industry influencer for IT industry analysts by Technology Marketing Magazine in both 2001 and 2002. He helped earn a Best Trade Tabloid Maggie Award for Western Publications Association in 1998 and was a top computer journalist for electronic publications awarded by Marketing Computers in 1996. Welcome, Dana.
Hey, it's great to be here, Karen.
Great. As I mentioned earlier, we're here today to talk about SOA trends. Today's podcast presentation will be broken into three segments, each 10 to 15 minutes in length, and a series of podcasts will include discussions on vendor market consolidation, the role of the SOA architect, and the total architecture. Today's third presentation is on the total architecture. In this third podcast, I'll ask Dana a number of questions regarding the lifecycle approach to SOA and how it can positively impact your organization. So Dana, let's get started. My first question today is, how is SOA architecture different from enterprise architecture?
Sure. Well, it's really about scope and breadth. You know, we're moving beyond folks being just responsible for a certain aspect of either business or technology. And it's no surprise that that's how things evolve. It's about how to take a complex problem, break it down into small parts, and manage it that way. And I think that's what we've seen quite a bit of in the past 20 years around IT, is that things got complicated, things were maturing on their own and then tried to be brought together into a larger IT service or function, and we're left with the vestiges of decentralization and, I suppose, a fits and starts approach to technology. I suppose many companies have also evolved through mergers and acquisitions that they've inherited different types of technology platforms and solutions that they've then had to meld into a larger whole. So the enterprise architect has been basically with their feet in the path around being in control and in charge of a specific technology set, or in just a point-to-point type of integration among and between several or just a few previous technology sets or application sets. Well, the role of an architect at the SOA level of SOA is really to try to go beyond that point to point, rationalize what's in place, but shake it up and re-stir it so that it can be applied to larger business processes, and that the processes can be somewhat flexible, that you can change things without breaking everything underneath, or at least causing long-term chain of events to create change rather than make change more spontaneous.
So how is management and governance affected when the architecture is total?
Well, I think that before you get to the governance, it's important to understand what we mean by total architecture. And we're talking about architecting a business and not just architecting a process or an IT system. So the notion about total architecture is how to have a conversation about the thinking of a business goal and then how to make the other underlying parts behave in a way that aligns with that goal, that doesn't subvert it, or that props up issues about why things can't change or shouldn't change. Governance is about more on how things operate once they're up and running, but before you get things up and running, you have to, decentralize parts and then reorganize them in such a way that they're not brittle, that they're not interdependent. At the same time, it's challenging because you need to keep the operations going at the same time. the equivalent of changing the wings of an airplane while keeping it aloft. So this is another reason why total architecture is an important concept. Now, one of the ways that I got educated about this was through a book that was published last year called Succeeding with SOA, Realizing Business Value Through Total Architecture. It was written by Dr. Paul Brown, who's a principal software architect at TIBCO Software. And his notion is that, you know, business processes and systems are intertwined, and the design of one affects the other. But we've had separate architectural and design approaches, in many cases, to what happens on the IT side and what happens on the business side. So the notion of total architecture is to say, all right, let's move up an abstraction, put together the teams and the individuals who can play a higher level role, like the role of a SOA architect, and create the ability to work with these two groups in some kind of harmony, and perhaps even simultaneously, instead of it being linear. And by that I mean that in the past, something would get designed, and then it would get thrown over to operations, and they would put it into production, and there wasn't even a lot of communication and collaboration between the design time and then the run time. Now we're asking not only to have better communication among and between the developers and the implementers of technology, we're asking them to also relate to what's going on the business side and to react to it quickly. And so that creates the need for a total architectural overview.
So what distinguishes total architecture from the past?
Well, in the past, we had a siloed set of function and oversight. And so in the same respect that if you're running a household and you had someone who was just doing the cooking and someone who was just doing the shopping, and they didn't compare notes, well, it would be hard to put together a recipe if you didn't have the ingredients. It would be hard to know what ingredients to buy at the supermarket and what quantity if you didn't understand what new recipes were going to be in demand a few days out. And in a sense, IT and many organizations behave as if the cook and the shopper are two different people that don't have any relationship to one another. So what we're trying to do is recognize that the goal here is food preparation, and not just cooking and not just shopping, but to pull it together in a total sense. You might think of that as the total approach to food preparation. We're trying to bring that same kind of mentality on a much larger and more complex scale, granted, but it's really that simple. Say the past was about isolation and about focus on a small set, but in the complex, fast-paced world in which we live, where digital information is so rapidly available through the Internet and through globalization, that old system just doesn't work anymore. It can't support the speed and the need for change, and it can't support the complexity of managing total processes and strategies. And, you know, any company that can't move quickly is going to be at a disadvantage.
I actually have one final question for you. The CIO, I think, obviously gets the importance of the SOA role in the organization. But does the CEO understand the business value that the SOA architecture brings to the organization?
Increasingly, yes. Most companies that are large, that are global, understand the crucial role that IT plays. So many more CEOs are much more tech-savvy than was the case only a few years ago. The Internet has disrupted so many business models and created so many opportunities for new growth and business dominance within certain segments that CEOs are much more tech-savvy. And so it's not a matter of the CIO convincing the CEO of the importance of IT generally. It's about getting their attention as to where to invest and how to make an IT investment organized and understood in the context of a business process development or strategic business initiative. And these conversations shouldn't happen after the fact. If I'm a CEO and I'm thinking about a merger and acquisition or entering a new market, I don't want to get into that and then go a month later to the IT people and say, now, how can you help me implement this? The IT people should be involved throughout the discussion, throughout the viability and cost-benefit analysis of new business initiatives, because IT is fundamental. It's not an afterthought. And the ability for a total architecture approach should really bring together the conversation between a CEO and a CIO they should be closer in how they view their business objectives and really not be one as a slave or a master to the other.
That makes sense. Well, that's all the questions that we have time for today. Any last-minute comments on today's topic you'd like to leave the audience with?
Well, I think in a sense, we have to regain sight of an end-to-end business process. If you're a small business and you only have a few moving parts, it's easy to innovate. You can go out and say, wow, I'm just going to change the way I do things. I'm going to buy what I need, put it in place. But in large corporations, things have become so large and complex that that sort of basic business process adjustment comes at tremendous cost and tremendous length of time. It's time to take a re-evaluation of that and look at end-to-end business processes as your differentiation of how you behave in a market. And before you enter new markets, you need to have those business processes in place and the ability to amend them quickly. So I would say let's take that total architecture view, recognize the intrinsic importance of IT across the life cycle of a business objective, and get the IT people involved first and foremost so that they can, in fact, become a catalyst to helping you change rather than a speed bump or a roadblock to the change you want as a business.
Okay, and on that note, that concludes our third podcast in the SOA Trend series. Check out the webcast and podcast section on searchcio.com for information and links to the first and second installment of the series. Thanks again to Dana Gardner for joining us today, and thank you all for listening. Have a great day.